page 219. O Lord, open my lips.
Lord, preserve us in war, and us our Lord.
set in my alarm. All mankind are liars.
Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So
So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him,
Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Easter Responsory, page 222. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Chest right now. There's the shape of a heart. or heart in terms of guts, the desire to win, not giving up. Like, that one is all heart. The human heart is subject to feelings and passions. But taken together, burn and hearts are not simply a physical or passionate description. This heartburn isn't from eating too many atomic hot wings before bed. Burning hearts in our gospel reading isn't the hottest new series streaming. The burning hearts we hear about today are not physical hearts on fire or papier-mâché hearts aflame, but rather hearts burning and not with passion, but because of the passion. The passion of the Christ foretold and spoken of in all of Scripture by Moses, the prophets, and the apostles. The hearts of the disciples on the road to Emmaus burned within them because the Holy Spirit kindles the flame of faith in hearts through the Word of God. We hear much in American evangelical Christianity about being on fire for the Lord, or about sending and calling the fire of the Holy Spirit, even apart from the Word of God. But notice how the Spirit of Christ works here. The Holy Spirit opens all of Scripture, and all Scripture testifies of Jesus Christ. The fire of faith doesn't come apart from the Holy Spirit or Word of God. The Spirit bears witness to Jesus from Moses and the prophets onward, declaring the victory of the Christ. The Spirit testifies to Christ by means of the Word of God. John records Jesus as saying, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." On the day of the resurrection, on the Emmaus Road, Jesus gives a preview of Pentecost as he, by his Spirit, opens the Scriptures to the two disciples and kindles the flame of faith in their hearts. Church Father Ambrose put it this way: "Faith shone bright, devotion was enkindled, love was illuminated, and justice was resplendent." Our risen Christ patiently opens his word to us so that we will believe on him. We confess in the Nicene Creed the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The "and the Son" phrase is not acknowledged by all Christendom because the Filioque, as it's known, was added by the Western Church without the approval of the Eastern Church at a church council. But it's clear the Spirit does proceed from the Son. Jesus, by his Spirit, opens the Scriptures and creates faith in the hearts of his disciples. The text here doesn't give us allowance to say Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one of God, with the Spirit of God, simply speaks the Scriptures to the disciples, and then the Spirit opens the Scripture to them. No. Verse 27 says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." The risen Jesus here not only speaks the Scripture, but interprets the Word. And in what way? He bears witness to himself. Jesus says, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true." Jesus does what he says the Spirit will do when he says of the Spirit, "He will bear witness about me." So when Jesus speaks, the Holy Spirit is speaking, interpreting, revealing, opening the Word of God to the foolish ones, to the slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus' objective is to cause people to believe his word by speaking his word. Apostle Paul in Romans 10 wrote, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." on the road to Emmaus. Jesus speaks his word with his mouth by the power of his own spirit with the purpose of fanning into flame the smoldering wick of faith in the hearts of his disciples. You can almost imagine Cleopas and the other disciples standing there looking sad, not knowing they were speaking to the risen Lord as they told him, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Faces downcast, hopes seemingly dashed by the crucifixion of Jesus, the two disciples can hardly believe the testimony of the women who said, angels said Jesus was alive. If he's alive, where is he? Perhaps you feel the same way sometimes, and it's hard to believe in someone whom you haven't seen, like we heard about with Thomas last week. But this is why the disciples' eyes were kept from recognizing him. The risen Jesus doesn't want our faith to be founded only on what we see. How could we trust our own eyes, which are corrupted with original sin? And even if our eyes see correctly in a physiological way, how can we trust our darkened natural mind to properly interpret what we see? The risen Jesus points us to a more sure foundation, a cornerstone which will not be moved, his word, which endures forever. His word is open to us and spiritually discerned in us by the Holy Spirit, so we have the assurance we are receiving the things of God. And what are the things of God, except all of Scripture which bears witness about our Savior and the natural means to which he attaches his word, the holy sacraments? Wouldn't you have liked to have been there as Jesus opened Scripture and explained everything about himself, present at the beginning as the creative word, spoken of in Genesis 3:15, the promised seed who would crush the head of the serpent, the one in the pillar of cloud and fire leading Israel in the Exodus, the one spoken of by Isaiah who said, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," and that he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. This prophecy is why the risen Jesus tells his disciples, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Of course, they should have gotten it already based upon the word of Moses and the prophets. But Jesus patiently leads Cleopas and the other disciple through the perfect Bible study, opening the word of God to them in a way only the Spirit of God can. It's no wonder their hearts burned within them. And it's no wonder our hearts burn within us when we hear of all the wondrous works our God has done. So the two disciples, with hearts burning in faith through the opening of the Scriptures, urge Jesus to stay with them because it is evening. And he does. Because Jesus abides with all who believe on him on account of the word of God. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Where have we heard that before? Luke records in chapter 22 at the institution of the Lord's Supper that he took bread and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. Jesus presided over his supper in the upper room in Jerusalem, and he also presided over his supper with the two disciples at Emmaus. And he presides over his supper here at this altar through his under-shepherd speaking his word. Over and over again, Jesus breaks bread with us, the bread he gave for the life of the world, his flesh. We continue the practice of the early Christian church in the book of Acts, where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Jesus makes himself known to us in the breaking of the bread, Holy Communion. Every time we receive Christ's body and blood at this altar, the risen Christ is revealed. His power over sin, death, hell, and the devil is exposed by the confession of the church, which echoes Scripture, that Christ has conquered every foe through his death and resurrection. The confession of the Christian church is as succinct as the confession of the Emmaus disciples. The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Our confession is a confession of resurrection, of life in Christ now and resurrected life with him in glory. So like the Emmaus disciples, we too recognize Jesus when he gives us his body. As the wafer of bread is put into our hand or on our tongues, we see Jesus giving himself to us for the forgiveness of our sins. As the wine is coming to our lips, we see Jesus pouring out his blood to us as the source of our life and salvation. Do not our hearts burn within us when we receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation through the body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine? So let us not be downcast, dejected because we don't see Jesus present here in his resurrected body. He is here, open to us in the Scriptures. He is open to us so we may enter into his body through his word and holy baptism. And he makes himself known to us every time we partake of his body and blood at this altar. He is present for us, even though he has disappeared from sight for a time. And we by faith behold him because his spirit burns within us. His everlasting oil of gladness will keep our lamps lit until he returns to take us to himself. So our hearts burn within us today, not with passion, but because of faith in the passion, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins spoken of in all Scripture. As we sang in the hymn last week, walking the way, Christ in the center, telling the story to open our eyes, breaking our bread, giving us glory, Jesus our blessing, our constant surprise. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory. Alleluia. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as you are able to sing the Te Deum, page 223. linen sheets can be placed in the basket of the narthex. As we depart, we gather the offerings. You may be seated. Stand as you are able for prayer, beginning with the Kyrie on page 227.
Preserved in the one true faith.
bless the ministry of Pastor Stephen Oliver in Taiwan, and bless his wife Maggie. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, stifle the powers of darkness and end the reign of war, violence, and terror. Give leaders who will seek peace and work for the common good. Instill in them a love of righteousness and guide them in the pursuit of justice for all. Bless Joseph, our president, the Congress of the United States, Kevin, our governor, all state and local officials, all medical and emergency workers, police and firefighters, and all members and families of the armed forces who protect us, especially Mike Gobble, Emily Shelton, Alex Lappin, Ricardo Matonga, Danny Green, Courtney Tate, and Eli Wiley. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of compassion, those who suffer cry to you. Hear them and answer them with grace sufficient for all their needs, including those suffering the effects of train derailment and tornadoes. Heal the sick according to your will. Comfort the wounded and give your peace to the dying. We especially pray for Dwayne Rosowski, Candy Darmody, Lindsay Shem, Tim Anderson, Fred Miller, Linda Fillmore, Christopher Tomlinson, Bob Eby, David Coretto, Jim Turnpaugh, Pastor Butch Raines, Mike Patton, and Clayton Hero. Comfort Peggy Gallagher, her father Donald, Jay, and all Peggy's family at the death of her mother, Mae Devensky. You, O Lord, are our health and strength for this life and eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, your compassion is made known to us through your Son's breaking of the bread. Open our hearts and mouths to receive forgiveness in the body and blood of Christ, who suffered for us and has entered into his glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, have mercy on us when we are foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken about your Son. Pour out your Spirit on us through the preaching of the gospel, that the scriptures might be open to us. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit.